financial services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it's that time of the week. It's the best Tuesday you've had all week. Welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show, where I have to very first out of the gate thank Matt.
Yeah.
I got to thank Amber, who is probably covering. I got to thank our engineer, Dale, who covered for me. Because
he bought you 1 minute.
And that's exactly what we needed, because who else is in studio?
Maddie Little John.
Uh-oh, that's right. Dad had taxi duty. So scooped up the kiddo, and she is joining in studio on what a remarkable day in the markets,
mm-hmm.
right? And all, how about this, right? How much of this is just, how much of the markets right now are just built around whether or not the Fed ate like a burrito after 8 p.m.?
It feels like the whole thing moves. On just any little whisper that you hear from the Fed.
You just sit there, you go, did you guys, like, does somebody have indigestion? Or, like, did you're hungover? Like, what happened? Because somebody comes out and goes, well, you know, we were looking at the data, and
yeah.
That's the best Fed voice I can offer right now. It's going to shred my own voice. Anyway, the markets, they cough up some returns today. All around the idea that, P.S., we might have – this is flooring me, by the way, because we might have kind of got it wrong again.
Yeah, but the better question is, when has the Fed got it right?
Yeah, well, I think they got it right for a while when everything was really, really rough. Like, everything was in a deflationary environment, and they said, we better lower interest rates to get this thing rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
But here's, I think, the bigger story. And we're just not going to beat this one to death because, frankly, you guys that listen regularly, I mean, what are we going to do with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to correctly identify the Fed is, I think they're trying to use a policy tool that doesn't exist, which is jawboning, right? Like, let's see if we can talk about something without actually doing anything and get the markets to respond.
So you think they almost kind of tried to talk their way out of the situation that they were in?
Oh, there's,
for a while. Were they just like buying themselves time here?
Well,
or?
It's more like, so consider, so you got to kind of roll back the clock. Right?
Okay.
Like, look back when they were saying, well, we know we have inflation, but we're pretty sure it's
transitory.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yes, nailed it.
And everyone kind of rolled their eyes. And
we're all like,
hey.
And I remember being on this show and going, I'll believe it when I see it, right? There's inflation. You can't print trillions and not have inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, no, it's transitory. We think it's because of the supply chain disruptions and COVID. You know, you can't just – COVID's not like Windows operating system. You don't just turn it off and back on again. Like, you can't do that with the economy.
Right.
Right? But we sort of pretended like you could. And if you don't believe me, go look at the test scores for our kids, right?
Madison's over here laughing like
right where you go, because now this one I can so Mads, did you get a break during COVID?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I took a year out of school and I did like a homeschooling thing.
Well, yeah, so you didn't really stop school, right? You still had to go for like that whole year. You were still in school.
I mean, technically, yeah, but
I mean, the break, I guess you're thinking like a vacation, like it was, you could sleep in more and stuff like that because you didn't have to go to the campus. But how many of your peers they were doing online school and it was a joke?
Oh, like during sixth grade? Like the first beginning of it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was like school. That's cute. That's just a way to keep the government funding stuff.
Yeah, and I can speak from this firsthand. I was teaching during the time and when the lockdowns happened and kids weren't coming to school, I had like less than 10% participation rate in the virtual classrooms. So effectively, kids weren't getting
school.
An education.
Yeah. And I'm not throwing rocks at the schools for that, right?
No.
Like when the government shows up and goes, remember, we'll just turn it off and back on again,
mm-hmm.
right? They broke it, okay? The policymakers, and You know, you can say like, well, what were they supposed to do? It's like, hey, we armchair quarterback all the time. The difference being that you go back and listen to the programs back then when I said, I'm telling you, we're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying that for a while. And then everybody comes back now. It's like, so at least I've been consistently armchair quarterbacking.
Yeah. I mean, you've been saying it the whole time. Right? So,
and I think we've been saying about this as well. Guess what? We are in a recession. Okay, it's not manifesting the way people expect because they're watching the jobs numbers thinking that's going to tell the story. But you know why it doesn't?
Do you have a hunch like what the conflict is here? Like,
yeah,
why
I do.
So what's your theory on this?
My theory is that once we started writing COVID checks and then the government started doing other in-kind benefits that were not directly unemployment but were other forms of life support.
Give me an example of what something like that could look like.
Housing subsidy.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, you're low income. You can qualify for a housing subsidy, so you can pay X number of dollars per month. If you go and earn any more, though, we'll take away the subsidy, and then it won't. And then basically, you'll work, and you'll pay this, and all of what you work for will go to pay the difference in housing. So
right.
People go, okay, well, in that case, I won't work.
And do you think we're still seeing the effects of that
I
right now?
I guarantee we're still seeing.
Yeah.
Right now, can I point to the data? No, but can I point to the anecdotal stories
and
of
what you're seeing
people
firsthand.
That are in within my circle of folks that I interact with, and they're like, I know people, and they're doing this, right? And they're getting in-kind supplementation in the form of, oh, well, here's your phone, here's your place to stay, here's your internet, and here's your food subsidy in some fashion, right? And you're like, well, then there's your life support.
And it eventually turns into a dependency, right? Like if you allow the behavior to manifest itself for too long,
so
it's really crippling.
Let me tell you, I'm actually not throwing rocks at the person that's doing this. Like there's
no,
some
because
people that are
the
probably
system's there and it's available.
It's not even about the system. It's about what happens when you design a pernicious incentive. Okay, you know what that means?
I mean, it's an incentive.
No, I'll play a game with you. Hey, Madison. Here's the idea, right? You could either
not work and make $100 or work and make $80.
Yeah,
which are you going to choose?
Yeah, here's your, you know, I'll pay you an allowance or like no allowance, but if you work, you can make $100 a month working around the house, or I'll give you an allowance for $85, right?
I'll take the
$100. Right? Will you? I mean, maybe, but
even
the $15 difference, you're like, well, for $15, if I have to work for 20 hours, you're like, well, no, I'm not going to work 20 hours to
That's
clear
fair.
$15 more. That's stupid.
That's fair. I
right?
would not do that.
That would be a pernicious incentive, right? It's like it's designed to keep her from wanting to work at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was intentional or not is the real question. My suspicion is no. I think there are a bunch of people that have probably big hearts, but when you don't look at the aggregate of the policymaking, this kind of crap happens. And that's why I think the Fed is doing their best they can to talk this whole thing down. But you know what? They got policymakers at a federal level and in many cases at a mostly at a high state level. I think by the time you get to local, there's a lot more unfunded mandates and nonsense where they're doing the best they can. But every time we look at our governance locally, it's like, well, what do you want? When the state tells you have a bunch of unfunded mandates and no resources, and then everybody wants to squawk and, well, we're going to elect somebody who's going to change this thing, only to learn that 80% of what happens operationally is structurally set by the state government. We can't do much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so what do? We squawk about the 20% of differences, but the reality is you can move maybe 2 or 3% of that 20%. So everybody ends up behaviorally being 97% similar. Because they have to.
Right.
Right? It's and so that's the part about governance that's frustrating, and that's where we run into this stuff, and I think that's where the market's at, too. It's like, what's the Fed supposed to do? They have to raise rates because we keep having dumb policy that keeps fostering more inflation. Like, when the inflation – just newsflash, everybody, okay? And I am throwing rocks now. When you have the Inflation Reduction Act, right, and it spends more money in a system that already is inflationary, I got news for you. throwing money at an inflation problem doesn't slow inflation. Okay? This is not like beginner level economics in college. This is what they write on the back of the textbook when you're looking for the summary. Okay? It's that level of simple.
Right.
And so if you are like, that's not true, it's like, okay, you're partisan. There's no academic rationale that says, you know how we're going to solve inflation? We're going to spend a bunch more money on it. And the same story is, oh, we'll fix the infrastructure. Okay, you're going to solve inflation over a 20-year period by still inflating more right now. That's not an inflationary solve. Okay, what that is a rationalization for spending more money rather than correcting the systemic failures.
You're in debt and you're writing more checks.
So, I mean, I get it. Sometimes, like, when the infrastructure is bad, you need to pay for it. But what you don't do is say, why don't we pick the highest prevailing wage point in history and then the highest point for commodity prices in history just about, and then do all of the projects then.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's...
Bad timing. It's just bad timing.
I don't care what economic theory you're espousing to. It ain't that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is just politicians spending money that doesn't exist to try to stay in office. And it's not just politicians. It's the bureaucrats in the system that just keep doing what they do and watching out for their little bubble. And you have enough of that. It doesn't even have to be a conspiracy. It's just...
You're just gathering votes at that point.
Well, you just have a bunch of people where that's their self-interests align in that direction, and this is what happens.
Right.
So... What does it mean? It means we get a down day in the market on a Tuesday. What does it mean tomorrow? I don't know, but I will tell you this. It's not like the market is truly that surprised. Okay?
Mm.
Traders may have to reposition because the Fed came out and said, yeah, we're really going to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And the market, meanwhile, said, well, duh. Right? The big surprise wasn't that it was a big surprise. The big surprise was we had hoped it wouldn't be this.
Right.
But it is. So the hits keep coming. Here we
mm-hmm.
go. Anyway, that's as much as I want to beat this horse today.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you have for us after we get back from this break?
Well, you know what? I feel like there's a lot of things that we could certainly talk about. Every time I get a kid in studio, it's fun to have like questions that kids ask about money.
Mm.
Right? I say young lady here.
I'm a kid.
I'll go with that. I've seen your behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to tell you, the funniest way that I woke up this morning, my daughter is gifted with sarcasm. So if you want to know how my morning started, we'll do that. But first, let's take a break. Stick around. So I'll check and see. Is the music playing? It is. All right, let's be right back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
And Maddie Littlejohn.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Experience the wild like never before at Wildlife Safari. Our 600-acre park is home to over 400 animals from around the world. Drive through our safari or get up close and personal with animal encounters. See lions, tigers, bears, elephants, and more. Come explore Wildlife Safari today.
Horses, goats, cows, and chickens, they've got them covered at Douglas County Farmers Co-op. Wishing for chickens? Check out the Easy Chicken Coop for up to 10 chickens, now just $13.69.99. Martin Saddlery Pack is 20% off. Purina Goat and Duck Feed from $21.99. And to keep all the critters content and contained, find wire fencing, panels, utility gates, and accessories all on sale through March 12th.
Make your life even easier. Order online and pick up in the store. Shop at dcfarmers.com.
Give us 30 minutes, and we'll have you smiling again. In 30 minutes, we'll spend the time to understand what is going on in your life. Are you in pain? Do you not like the way your smile is? Do you want lighter teeth? You want to restore your original smile? In that 30 minutes, we give you a path to a natural smile again. That's what we do in 30 minutes. We give people natural-looking smiles.
To learn more, go to naturaldentures.com.
Give us 30 minutes, and we'll have you smiling again.
Let's hear it for the multitaskers, the work-from-homers, and the night shift workers. Let's hear it for you and all the ways that you show up for the people who count on you. That's your greatness in action, and it's the inspiration for everything we do at Pacific Power. So we're here for you with tools and choices to help lighten your load, like Watt Smart's efficiency tools that can help you save energy, resources and insights to help you manage your energy budget, and efficiency offerings that power the greatness in all that you do. Visit bewattsmart.com to learn more.
A lot of talk about the COVID-19 vaccines, and everyone has an opinion. So I went to somebody I already trusted, my doctor. Talk to your doctor or healthcare provider and make the decision that's right for you. Go to getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Greetings to my favorite listeners. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon
and
Maddie Littlejohn.
That's right. We've got my oldest, my firstborn, joining us today in studio. Now, if you are just catching up, you can grab their podcast. It'll be posted tomorrow. Go to littlejohnfs.com. You no longer have to scroll all over the place to find it.
It's right there, isn't it?
You could just, like, if you just scroll down the page, it's going to say things like, get smarter as an investor or learn more or listen to all of the knowledge that we have paid for via podcast for years. So you can do that and you can get caught up on this show. Yeah, exactly. Madison's
You're
like
I just want to watch TV.
My dad talks so much. So this morning, I promised I'd tell you this hilarious story. At least it's hilarious to me because it's insight into the kind of kid that is apparently
living under your roof.
Yeah, directing traffic in our home. So I'm up rattling around this morning, and I'm the taxi, remember? Mm. So we do our morning routine and out the door, which just be aware – Madison is driving. If you see a white F-150, just be on the lookout. Unfortunately, that's like 50% of all vehicles on the road.
Yeah.
Truck.
So, anyhow, I say to her, good morning, Princess Maddie. And she answers,
good morning, peasant.
And it was at that point we confirmed my daughter speaks in sarcasm. So
I like it.
I don't know if that's because I did a great job or I did that job.
Let's go with a great job. Let's just default to you passed on a sense of humor and wit.
It's not even over. We have a few more years of this. Just remember, your college fund is still technically at risk.
I think I'll be okay.
So, all right. So this one's always fun. I have not prepped Maddie for this at all, but we've done this on the program a handful of times over the years, and some of it is where we quiz our young people, right? Believe it or not, we don't spend a lot of time at home preaching about money.
You don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Only if we're discussing, like, you know, chores and allowances,
then the money
then
talks get real.
Money.
Then there's negotiation, right?
Mm.
Madison is very clever.
Does she drive a hard bargain?
No.
Or is she just really, really good at kind of slipping in a good deal?
Yeah.
No. What she's great at is getting paid to do things, and then when it's time for her to spend her money, she gets somebody else to buy it for her anyway.
That's true. I'm actually really good at that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I help out around the house. Like, I'll do, like, a bunch of stuff, and then I'll go, and I'll go shopping on, like, Amazon or something. I'm like, Mom, can I get this? She's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Like, you just help out the house.
And then she's like, and I'll get some other stuff.
Yeah, and then she just buys it, and it works because I was helping out.
Genius. Pernicious incentive, I tell you.
I mean, are we getting Amazon packages weekly here?
No.
That's more than that.
not
for you. I swear, Amazon is like,
they
don't know our address. They just know our name. They're like, oh, that goes there, right?
Yeah.
You put it on that room.
All the cardboard boxes go on that doorstep.
Jeez, so, yeah. Anyway, well played, right? So here's a fun one for you. We've played this game before. How much do you think somebody starting at your age, which you do not have to admit to on air, right? But we already know you're not licensed and you are permitted, so people can do the math. how much do you think it takes if you could save per month a certain amount of allowance to become a millionaire, say, by the time you reached retirement age, which right now is 65. So that's like 50 years.
You said monthly?
Yeah.
How many years, how many months is in 65 years?
Ooh. Oh, I think it was 60 years. So 60.
50 even, but.
Oh, 50. Hang on. 50 times 12.
Oh, we're going to do the whole thing. All right.
Okay. I don't know. Like a million? That's a lot of money.
To make $1 million?
Yeah.
You're going to do a monthly contribution. First, we need to know what's your rate of return. What do you think it should be? For 50 years, rate of return. I would say let's do 8% rate of return.
500. If I could even make that much money.
Which 500 a month?
So I feel like that's a good one, but I don't think it, like, right now I could make 500 a month.
What if you could make $100 a month? Do you think you could get there? Let's go even lower. Let's go with $50 a month. 50? Let's go really low.
That was what I originally
said. Could you do
50?
Let's start with something that you feel is realistic. Could you find $50 every month if you worked really, really hard? Okay.
Yeah.
The answer is if you started with zero and you had 50 years and you made 8% and you compounded monthly.
On how much a month?
$127.
$127
a
month?
So I was like way off with my
500.
But it seems like a good idea at the time.
Right. Now, you know this isn't the whole story, right?
Yeah, probably.
In fact, because let's say we could do the – there's some people that say the long-term average of the stock market's as high as 12%. Okay? 12%, what do you think that number is now instead of 8%?
Is that higher or lower? Like for money wise, I don't know this.
Oh, you're making more. You're making 12% instead of 8%.
12% instead of 8%.
I'm making more.
Yeah.
Like between 95 and 105. Am I off?
$26 a month.
Really?
Really.
Well, I was way off.
Yeah, 50 years. You put $26 a month in, you can become a millionaire. Why is this not the whole story, Matt?
Because there's going to be some years where you might have a down year. Not every single year you're going to get 12%.
Yeah. Although we're averaging
12%. Right. Yeah.
So it should work out on an average.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on where the Fed's having a problem right now?
Well, we're experiencing rising rates. So we're experiencing inflation.
Ah. What do you think inflation's going to do over the next 50 years?
It's going to make it to where the money that you have in the future isn't worth.
I learned about this. I learned about this in my sociology class. We're learning about it right now.
Oh, I'm ready.
Take it away.
Yeah. She described it with like apple juice. But basically, with like the money that you make, it's not going to be worth as much because it's like diluted.
Ooh.
That's how she described
it. The apple juice effect.
Yeah.
The apple juice gets diluted.
She said like if her kids love apple juice, but she doesn't have enough apple juice for the next morning, you can just pour a little bit of water in there, and then they still have apple juice, but it doesn't, like, taste as, like, juicy, I guess.
It's true. I mean, it's just diluted apple juice.
It's not, like, worth as much. And that's how she described it.
It's an interesting but really good way to bring home the concept, right? Because I think that's pretty accurate, right? Sometimes people will say inflation dilutes the currency. It weakens the currency. And that's like, hey, that apple juice is weak. Mm-hmm. It's too much water and not enough juice, right? What is the deal? So, yeah, I think that's a good observation. And it's something that everybody out there, all of you listening, should be attuned to this. Because it's one of the great challenges of investing. I had a client that I was speaking with today. They're taking out a mortgage because they moved and they're buying a new home. You know what their rate was for 30 years?
I'm going to go 6.5.
7.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Oh, I'm better than you.
Oh.
Peasants, right?
Yes.
So 7%. If you're an investor now, consider that you need to earn at least 7% to break even, right? If you had money in a savings account and you had interest at 7% and you're earning 1% in your savings account, you're going backwards at 6% rate, right? And it's the issue is it's really hard right now to conjure returns in the market, in the stock market, that are consistent, right? Is it possible to make 7%? Oh, yeah. And like, I can show you right now investments with more than 7% yield associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
But are they stable?
What if the company that you're loaning money to defaults because they go under?
Yeah, it's all relative, isn't it?
It is.
So there's this risk-reward trade-off. But when you have a cost of capital, and that's really what's going on with the Federal Reserve, to fight inflation, what they're saying is, we're going to make money expensive to borrow. Why would they do that?
So then you're less likely to go spend that money and create more demand for goods.
Yeah. So this is, we're going to have a little lesson. This will be fun for Mads. You're going to be our little guinea pig here for our listeners. We're going to have a lesson on the fractional reserve banking system.
I hate fractions.
You will, even more after this. But you're going to be able to impress your teachers. So everybody stick around. We're going to talk about why rising rates. What is it? And the why will lead us to how as investors might we respond. Stick around. We'll be back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
And Maddie Littlejohn.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, David Littlejohn. In studio with me is my main man,
Matt Dixon,
and my firstborn,
Maddie Littlejohn.
And I'm floored. I don't even remember what we were going to talk about. We're going to talk about fractional reserve system, but before I do, I'm like, This is breaking news to me. Apparently, I don't know how quick this happened, but
I heard about it yesterday. And
so, but it appears to be, and I don't want to spread rumors, but it sounds like the Walmarts, like basically all the Walmarts
them, yeah.
are pulling out of Portland. Yeah. Like they're just, when I say pulling out, I mean you can't move the store away, but they're just
shut
down.
Yeah.
And so you think about everything from job loss to what does that mean for the folks that is a primary source of
food,
groceries, and so forth. And they're saying it's because the shoplifting has become so bad that they can no longer operate profitably.
Yeah, and to emphasize this, it's a permanent closure. This isn't a temporary thing. They're just saying we're done. We're cutting ties. We're done.
That's astonishing.
It's making national news. Portland is in the headlines right now.
This I will say that this really pains my heart because I have family from the area, and the Portland of my youth was such an amazing city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had this really cool, it was a small city, but it had this great culture, and it was vibrant, and things were happening, and people wanted to be there, and it was really cool. And now it's just... I mean, I've just said this for a long time. This is the result of removing consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, bottom line is that everybody can say, look, I'm compassionate. If you're compassionate without consequences for behavior, you're not compassionate.
Right.
Like, that's actually cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you do not allow the consequences to match the behavior, people never learn otherwise. If you enable things that then spiral out of control, this is what you get.
Well,
the lack of compassion is actually cruelty.
Because think about all of the families, right, that are in a really compact area with a lot of traffic, mm-hmm. and you want access to affordable groceries. Where might you go? Walmart, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. an easy choice. If those stores are shutting down, what's happening to the families and the communities that are relying on the ability to get affordable groceries or affordable clothes. You're taking that away because you're allowing the mob mentality to take over and lawlessness to just spread.
Yeah, it's truly tragic on many, many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, do not conflate compassion with a lack of consequences, nor cannot redistribute from those that are following the rules to those that refuse to follow rules and maintain social order.
Mm-hmm.
You will disincentivize following rules.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Portland right now. I mean, the way that the city's going about handing out free money to people that are homeless. I mean,
I
know there is a my understanding, I don't have the number yet, but there was a bill under consideration. I don't know that it really has traction or not, but the idea of a universal basic income being
provided, that's in the pipeline too, in addition to what they're already doing.
Well, at some point, you know, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And maybe this is the moment where, I mean, here's the reality again. I go back to my earlier rant. I mean, even if you change your political representatives, if you don't change the culture that's running bureaucratically in those organizations, I don't know that you get real change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because the people that are doing this are bad people in many cases. Like, that's a weird thing to realize, that many of these organizations that are setting policy in their little ecosystem, they may think they're doing a good thing.
Right.
But how their ecosystem connects to the other ecosystems and how those interactions magnify or scale, you can have unintended consequences. And I mean, this is one of them.
Sure. It's short-sighted thinking, mm-hmm. really.
Well, and there may be some people out there that are naive enough to say, good, Walmart sucks. They take all the jobs from the mom-and-pop businesses anyway. And I go, yeah, but who's going to set up a mom and pop business in an environment where you can't operate a profitable business on the thinnest of margins, which mm-hmm. is Walmart, because theft is rampant.
Right.
Okay. Like, you've turned everything into a kind of a Mad Max environment where it's like, mm-hmm. all right, well, there's no law. That isn't going to end well.
No.
So there we go. Well, that's certainly cheerful. How does this connect? Believe it or not, there is a connection to the fractional reserve banking system.
Oh, I'm interested in what you
I realize
this
is going to seem like a real stretch, but this all comes back to cost of capital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The cost of capital is one of the single most important variables in the financial system. Okay, because the cost of the cost of capital is connected to what we will often term the risk-free rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think? Like, so if I just threw that out there, let's beta test this on Mads.
Oh no.
What do you think the risk-free rate of return is? What does it sound like?
Like,
how could you make money without any possible risk?
Yeah. I don't know that you can, mm-hmm. actually. That's the first trick.
Yeah.
But what might the risk-free rate of return be? Like, if you had to guess, like, what do you think?
Like, as a percentage? Is that what you're asking her?
Well, it's more like, what instrument? Like, if you were to say, you know, what out there in the world could we say that's the standard by which we're going to benchmark everything else against it? I'm getting the look. She's like, all right, this, I'm going to help.
Okay.
Here's the good news. If you have the world's reserve currency, which is what the U.S. dollar currently is, and you have a printing press, which the government does, then what you're going to decide is what is the currency benchmark to use? And what the industry has largely accepted is the 10-year treasury bill. Okay? That's the interest rate that the government is paying to borrow money from you or anybody else that's willing to loan the money for a 10-year stretch.
Did you see that it hit a new number within the last couple days? It hit 4%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking pre-2008 levels again.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more like 2006 levels last time we saw north of 4%. I'm just guessing. I haven't looked at the data.
Right. You haven't looked at the graph. Yeah.
But the risk-free rate of return, why do we care? Right? Because every other investment you make, you...
It better be over that.
Well, yeah, you need to look at that and say, well, compared to what I could put money away for 10 years and get paid, am I in a better spot or a worse spot than that? And am I taking more risk or less risk?
Mm-hmm.
How much risk do you have that the federal government won't pay you back in 10 years?
Not very much.
And why is that?
Because it's 10 years and a lot can happen in 10 years?
Well, because they have a printing press.
But that's the apple juice and diluted money.
It may be, but from a perspective of will you get paid back? How likely are you to be paid back?
By the U.S. government.
By the U.S. government.
A lot. More than 90.
Right. Super, super high because they can dilute the apple juice.
Mm-hmm.
They can print money. This is always my argument when people go like, I'm not even sure Social Security is going to be there when it's my turn. And I go, you're kidding, right? They can print money.
Right. If there's a deficit,
well,
they
but
need
you
to
know,
fund
but
it.
They can't because of the rules of this, that, and the other. So they'll throw the rules out the window if it suits their purpose.
Yeah, they're not going to.
And
get
who's
going
to tell you, unless you're a tiny generation with no voters and no donors, which hasn't made sense yet, right? Even mm-hmm. Gen X, which is arguably the smallest generation around right now, but it's unlikely that everybody's going to somehow get together and say, well,
let's just scrap Social Security.
Right, because yeah. By then there's probably Gen X on the Supreme Court.
Well, and think about it this way. Who's going to vote for you if you scrap Social Security? You lose everyone's vote.
Right. It's the third rail of politics. You just can't take away the free stuff.
No. That's the other problem with introducing too much free stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to take it away once you've been given it out.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the risk-free rate of return. Government has a printing press, they can dilute, doesn't matter. You're going to get paid back.
Yeah.
So all of our other investments get compared to that risk-free rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
How does this relate to the banking system?
I'm assuming it has something to do with interest.
It's back to the cost of, yeah, it is, right? It is interest, because interest is the cost of borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And borrowing what? Capital. It's the cost of capital. Right? If you need to get a loan, how much does it cost you? Oh, a mortgage for 30 years at 7%? Your cost of capital is?
More than that 4% we talked about.
It's 7%.
Right?
And so that's the cost of the mortgage. That's your cost of capital.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at the cost of capital in the entire system. Okay? Well, here's the weird thing about the way a bank theoretically operates. So Mads, let's say you get a loan for, this will be fun, right? $1 million.
Yes.
Okay. And you're going to go and take that loan and you're going to do a development and you're going to build some cool widget factory.
Harry Potter castle.
Okay. The Harry Potter castle is a tourist one. Your cost of capital is high. Whatever. We mentioned she likes Harry Potter. Okay, so you're going to build some kind of infrastructure.
Yeah.
But you're not going to put all $1 million into the project at once. You're going to start with $100,000, and then you're going to have $900,000 left. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in the bank until you need the next chunk of money. Right. And
yeah.
So the next 100,000 and then after that, another 100. And you're going to make installment payments until you're done with your project.
Mm-hmm.
When you put the 900,000 back in your bank, what happens?
You get interest, right?
Yeah. And now the bank has a liability because they got money back in the bank and they don't make money on that. And they have to pay you interest on it. So they better turn around and loan that money out to somebody else. But what they don't realize, or maybe they do, is, well, you borrowed that money to begin with. You used 100,000 of it, and you put 900,000 back in the bank, and the bank's going to loan that 900,000 out again. And somebody else is going to get a $900,000 loan, and they're going to put their 100,000 in, and then they're going to put about, you know, 800,000 back in the bank, And the bank's going to take that $800,000 and they're going to loan it out again.
So in theory, could you have more money loaned out than exists?
Yes.
Isn't that what happened in the Great Depression?
Yes.
The banks like didn't have enough money to give to people?
In essence, yes. When the banks, when people came back to try to cash out of the bank, they physically didn't have enough money to cash out their members or their, you know, the account holders.
Okay.
I can just see a listener saying, okay, there's proof that we're headed for another Great Depression.
So, not necessarily. Okay?
Yes. And can you explain to them why?
So, I'm going to do this super fast because of time. The banks have a certain amount of assets they must keep on reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called a reserve requirement. And they also have different resources with which they can borrow money as well.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the Great Depression, we now have a lot more digital currency. Like if you went to a bank right now without the bank having a problem and said, I want $100,000, they may look at you and say, come back next Tuesday, because they don't have $100,000 there.
You're talking in cash.
I'm talking about cash. Like you mm-hmm. can't just pull that kind of money out.
But what if they wanted it digitally moved?
Oh, easy.
See,
you know,
yeah, that's the difference.
Just, you know, a couple of keystrokes and it's done. Okay? So now they may put a hold on the money for a little while, and that's just to kind of slow it down between the systems so that they can kind of reconcile things and make sure the books are clear. But you can get digital stuff done virtually instantaneous. To get actual cash, that would be tricky. So banks have this reserve requirement, and the idea is that they need to have enough on hand that if a percentage of people come and want money, they have it available. Mm-hmm. So they don't loan all of it out. But the lower the interest rate, the more attractive it is to borrow. So people borrow more. Mm-hmm. And if they borrow more, then the bank loans it to them, and then more people have it, and more people put part of it in other banks. And so it means more loans get made, and that money ultimately expands in the system, right? So it's not like $1 flying around the system. It's $1 became $10, became $20, became $50 kind of thing. It's leverage. And the way that you start to take all the extra money out of the system, because what causes inflation? Too much money chasing the same amount of goods. Right. So, oh, everybody wants the same thing. I used to have $10. Now I have $20. I'll pay $20 for that widget, please. The widget now costs twice as much. That's inflation.
Mm.
Okay. Because we increased the amount of money in circulation. So, how do you get money out of circulation? You don't rip it in half. No, you do not. You start to raise interest rates, and it's more expensive, and fewer people get loans. And all of a sudden, the money that had been put in bank again and again and again starts getting pulled back out so that it can pay other loans off and so they don't have to pay those high rates. And the number of dollars in circulation contracts. And now you have less money chasing the same amount of goods.
Well, why don't we do that?
We are trying to do that. The question, though, is what happens when
it goes,
you know, the Fed doing one thing and the federal government is borrowing money and spending money that doesn't exist? Right now you have institutions fighting with each other, and it's really hard. So that's the issue. You know, you can't have stimulus from the government while the Federal Reserve is trying to dampen the economy simultaneously. That's just not going to work.
Student loan forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are just, you know, politicians buying votes.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That's our quick lesson on the fractional reserve banking system. We got to grab our last break. We're super long. So stick around and we'll be right back. We've got our favorite. We got financial terms on the way. Stick around. This is Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
Maddie Littlejohn.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. You have joined us just in time. I know some of you have snuck out early, but you're still listening in the car because you're on the way to your next very important thing.
And you know what they want, David? They want some financial terms.
Financial terms. Remember, financial terms are kind of cool. They are, these are either real terms that sound fake, or they are fake terms that sound real, in which case we are going to provide some definitions for you. And so we've got Maddie here, and I'm going to throw a few out. The first one we're going to start with today is the Batman Index. True or false?
Is it real?
Yes.
Matt?
I think it sounds false. And so
I'm pretty sure it's false. Yeah. I've never in my career heard of the Batman Index. Let's give it a definition. Let's start with
about?
Madison. Yeah. What would be the Batman Index?
Is this when Batman goes around town and throwing index cards at people?
Just throwing index cards.
Throws index cards.
Yes.
That is the Batman Index. Okay, it's going to make for a terrible movie.
Okay. I think the Batman Index is where Batman is just watching the crime levels, but it looks like a stock ticker. So it's like, oh, it's going, it's falling, crime is down, and Batman is happy.
It's like whether or not he could take a vacation.
Yeah.
Like if the Batman index is high, he can't take a vacation.
Right, yeah.
I like it. I was thinking, in the snarky way, Batman index is the willingness for movie production companies to throw good money at bad ideas.
Ooh.
So
yeah.
like how likely are we going to make money back on this? Who cares? Batman Index.
Yep.
And you know, because some Batman movies have been awesome and some have been
not really
a disservice to the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. Next one, because we have only so much time today. This one is fun. Billionaire broke.
Billionaire broke.
Real term or false term?
You know, it's real because billionaires go broke all the time. And I'm going to give it the definition of when you put all your money in crypto and then you are no longer a billionaire. You're billionaire broke.
Madison, what do you think billionaire broke is?
When you break a billionaire.
Yeah, how do you break them?
Yeah, back to crypto. All right, I get to the music's playing and we got to run here. So my definition of billionaire broke is when somebody else buys a bigger yacht than yours. Oh. Anyway, we are out of time for now. Matt, how do they reach us if they would like actual financial advice?
Probably give us a phone call at 541-375-0898.
All right, well, we're out of time for now. So until next time, check out littlejohnfs.com or give us a call. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
And Maddie Littlejohn.
You've been listening to True Wealth.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.